We're going to call up Pastor Stan now with his message, teach us to pray. I just want to say it was interesting because I helped my mom this morning with her class, and she was teaching her kids the Lord's Prayer. So I'm like, hey, it kind of matches.
Anyway. God is doing something.
Yeah.
Okay, God, we get it. You know, that's an excellent illustration. Before I forget, let me... because I know it's not in my notes. That thing is just not in my notes. So let me just say this. It's really interesting, isn't it, that Joan, you teach, how old is your kids you teach? Three, age 3 through 7. You can teach kids this passage on the Lord's Prayer. And that's actually part of the first point in my whole bullet point here is that you can teach this thing. Jesus taught this as something that we can learn. He made it really, really simple. Now, as we're looking at, so okay, now I'll go back to my message here. But and hopefully I want to hitchhike off of that again, but that's a really powerful point, so thank you for bringing that up. But all of us started off not knowing how to pray, didn't we? I almost kind of sort of remember somebody teaching me, you know that prayer, God is great, say it with me, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for this food, amen. All right, so you guys know that. You probably learned it when you were really young, right? And that's the first prayer that I knew, and I kind of knew that prayer. And I remember when I first came to Christ, the guy who led me to Christ said, would you like to pray? And I thought, yes, I would. Inside of me, I thought, I want to pray. The only prayer I knew was, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for this food. I didn't pray that prayer because it was all about how to come back to Jesus and thanking him for my food. Probably wasn't the most appropriate prayer. But my point here is, we all start at a place where we don't know how to pray. And I really like what happened here. This is such a precious part of Scripture, not only to me, but to so many people, right? How many people know this section of Scripture called the Lord's Prayer? And it is precious because it is easy to learn, and it is something that is very simple and teachable, and it is really appropriate here. So here are the disciples... Provide a little background. We don't know when this actually was done, but it is very, very likely that the Lord's Prayer or something like it was taught in a number of different times. And so the corresponding verse is in Matthew. There's a corresponding verse in Matthew that's pretty much the same with a few slight variations. We're going to primarily stick to the Luke passage today, but we're finding that the disciples were in a place where you and I used to be. Can you imagine that these disciples who were so walking around in the early church and praying for people, and people would recover from sin, it would lead people to the presence, very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time in their life when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Isn't that precious? That these pillars of the church started off by saying, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's go to our Lord. Lord, I pray that as we see this passage of Scripture, that we would understand a few basic fundamentals that our Lord Jesus Christ, that you gave us, Lord, to pray. That these simple tracks to run on are things that anyone can grasp onto. And help us, Lord, to be people who are willing to learn, just like the disciples. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today's sermon is as much for the leader as it is for the new believer. I would ask you to raise your hand if I were so bold, but I'm not going to. But in your heart, you can just go ahead and in your heart, raise your hand to the Lord, if you will. If you want to ask the Lord, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach us to pray. And in your heart, I'd like to ask, if you're not one of those people who need to ask the Lord, Lord, teach me to pray, that you would be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to be used of you to help somebody else pray. Help somebody else learn to pray. That may be many of you, to help somebody else to pray. So I'd like to go into our scripture today. And if we can bring up our scripture, if I have that right. Our scripture is Luke chapter 11. We're going to read 13 verses of that, 1 through 13. So we'll take several sections at a time. Let's read this together and get us all on the same page. Okay, ready, go. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. But I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In this passage of Scripture, I see 3 major sections. And these 3 sections are, first of all, Jesus can teach us to pray when we are teachable. Jesus can teach us to pray when we use Jesus' pattern for prayer. And finally, Jesus can teach us to pray when we are persistent and confident. I'm going to ask you to fill in those gaps, those blanks as we go along. The first blank here is, how can Jesus teach us to pray? Well, Jesus can teach us to pray when we are teachable. If you have your notes page, right in that first blank, we are teachable. Teachable means that we are in an initial posture of being receptive. That we're willing to learn. We're willing to learn and trying to learn. How well we learn is another question. God knows that we probably can't learn everything at one time. But we are at least wanting to be in a place of teachability. And here's what we do. Here's what happened to the disciples here. What brought them to this place of teachability? First of all, they observed that Jesus was praying. It said in the scripture that Jesus was praying. After Jesus was done praying, then the disciples said to him, hey, you know, we see you praying here, and we know that John the Baptist, he didn't say the Baptist, but John taught his disciples to pray. Why don't you teach us to pray? So they're in this place of teachableness, place of receptiveness. That's a very important first step. That's almost the most important first step, because God can do almost anything with someone who's receptive and ready to learn, much more than somebody who has a lot of capacity but not willing to learn. So being willing to learn is really the first place. Now, we don't want to presume. Now, let's look at 11:1. It says, we hear that Jesus was praying, and one of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And we have to make sure that we don't presume that people automatically know how to pray. And you know what I like about Jesus' response? I don't know if you can show the second verse, but it really, Jesus said, "When you pray, say this." He didn't criticize them. "Haven't I been with you so long that you don't know how to pray? You know, why don't you just follow my example?" He just quietly showed them how to pray. But that's actually the second bullet point. But let's look at this first of all. Luke 11, Jesus teaching us to pray is really like training wheels. So I'm not sure some of you have seen me play guitar. But here's what Jesus said. "When you pray, say," and then he just goes ahead and shows them. John, can I use your guitar real quick? John, where are you? Can I just pick up your guitar real quick? So I've taught a number of people to play guitar over the years, and I have this. I teach them a very simple picking pattern, and it's called bass 2-3-1. Okay, can you say bass 2-3-1? Very good. Say it again.
Bass 2-3-1.
Okay, that's what this is. Bass 2-3-1. Get it? Now, to be honest, I hardly ever play that today. But that's where I tell people to start. And really, it's like training wheels. Actually, I jumped to the second one already. Sorry. On my notes. So we don't want to presume people know how to pray. And so what we do is, when we want to teach somebody, let's just start from the beginning like Jesus did. And he said, "When you pray, pray like this." And this is the second bullet point. When you use Jesus' pattern for prayer, use Jesus' pattern for prayer. And so what I just showed you was a picking pattern. And you may or may not ever use that pattern very much at all, but it's a great place to start. Beginners want to know how, where to start somewhere. Most of you do not think A, B, C, D. You do that automatically by now. But young kids who are learning how to their alphabet have to start there. So this is really just some place to start. And if you know the Bible has all kinds of things to say about prayer. In fact, the last song that the worship team did is out of Ephesians 6. And that one is on how to pray in the Spirit, putting on a spiritual armor. That's one passage of Scripture, wonderful passage. That's one how to pray, and many other scriptures we can go to. But this passage of Scripture is like training wheels. So let's just go through this how to real briefly. First of all, honor the Father. Jesus is saying, address God as your Father, a heavenly Father who needs to be revered. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means it's set apart, it's holy, it is sacred. So he is at once your Father. He is at once your Father. And he's also incredibly holy and revealed. He's both of these things at the same time. He's not one or the other. He's all of this. And so he says, Father. Now, this is kind of new idea to the disciples. The disciples, God was far off, and only the priest is supposed to pray. That's something the priest does, okay? I'm just one of these lowly people. But now Jesus is saying, call him Father. You're related to him. You're his child. Yet he remains holy. We don't enter his presence in a casual, just kind of nonchalant, "Hey, brother, dad, you know, hey, what's happening?" That's I know that kind of stuff, right? And yet, so the close relationship, yet with sacred reverence. Number two, desire God's kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. So we see in the book of Luke that Jesus' very presence was God's kingdom come to earth. We've been over that many times. I've just been kind of illustrating that, showing how Jesus says, God's kingdom is among you many, many times. Now, some people look at your kingdom come in an end times view. And those of you Bible study type people, the word is eschatology. It means end times. Some people look at that verse and say, well, that means we're praying for Jesus to return and everything. But there's nothing in here that says that this is only reserved for end times. Your kingdom come means Jesus, manifest yourself right here and now in this place. And I often do that when I go visit people who are in a need for just the sense of the presence of God. I pray in my own mind, your kingdom come. Lord Jesus, manifest yourself right here. That is the idea of your kingdom come. And in doing so, we are continuing Jesus' mission on earth. Matthew 6:33 highlights the importance of this coming very early in our prayer. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, all the other stuff that you might need in life will be given to you as well. So priority on God's kingdom. A third one is desire God's will on earth. Desire God's will on earth. Your will be done on earth and in heaven. So in other words, when we're praying, we want to ask God's will to be done on earth. But let's be honest, most of the time we pray is because we just drop something on the floor, the bottle broke, and then, and then you get all upset, and maybe a wrong word comes out of your mouth, certainly a wrong attitude comes out of your heart, and now you're asking God, God, forgive me of my attitude. God, help me to clean this up. And then we jump right into, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Most of that prayer is directed toward me. Jesus is saying, as a general rule, desire God's will first. Now, if you're falling off a cliff, you're at the edge of a cliff, you go to, you take a trip to, what's that big valley that goes through Nevada and everything? Grand Canyon. If you're going to Grand Canyon and stepping off the edge and you're falling off the edge, you're going to say, what are you going to say? Help! Are you going to say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Just say help, it's okay. Okay. You don't have to go through all of that, all right? Okay, but as a general rule, honor God first and seek his will before our will, and you'll find how that aligns and puts our will into perspective. Now, there is a place for us to pray what we need. Ask for simple needs. Number four, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus says, ask. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, he doesn't say, give us this day our daily Jaguar. Give us this day our daily Lamborghini. Okay, now if you're really rich, it might be a daily thing for you. It's okay. No criticism here. But he's just saying, pray for the simple things in life. Number five, ask for forgiveness in light of forgiving others. Ask for forgiveness in light of forgiving others. Now, we go through things. We all go through things. A short list here. Greed, lust, vanity, pride, lying, stealing, profanity, gossiping, coveting, not living in faith even, ungodly anger, impatience. Yikes! And then so we say, Lord, forgive us of all these things. And God says, yes, I'm willing to forgive you. Now, will you forgive other people? And you say, I don't really want to forgive some people. And that's a hard one. I'd rather do this. I'd rather hang people. Okay, so here's what forgiveness, so God says, here's what unforgiveness is. So Paul, you're sitting up in front, so can you come up here? Can you put that over your head?
Over my head?
Yeah, around your neck. Oh, yeah, that looks real good. And doesn't that look good? So forgiveness is my ability to control him through my anger, my debt, or my resentment, or whatever it is. And I have this debt over him, and whether or not I can actually control him is irrelevant. There's just the fact that there's a satisfaction in my heart that I can control him. That's unforgiveness. God does the same thing for us, except you can take that off now. Except God says, I'm going to take that off your neck, and I want you to take that off of your brother's neck. Let's give Paul a hand here. Good job. And just for further illustration, I'm going to undo this knot. Okay? And I'm going to say, that's unforgiveness. Lord, and that's forgiveness. Lord, you've released me of that knot. I'm going to release others of their knot. St. Augustine said, resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Because why? It eats you up inside. And you're really trapped. I'm hanging on to this other end of this rope. I'm stuck. I'm as much in bondage to this as you, maybe even more. So finally, direct us away from temptation. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Some scriptures look at it differently here. So the idea here is, God, lead me away from temptation. After I became a Christian, I could see sin everywhere that I hadn't been able to see sin before. Oh, man, I could see sin in my own life, in school, in my friends, my work, my family, myself. I had to pray constantly for God to lead me away from sin and away from temptation. And I had to choose to walk away from sinful environments. Environments like drinking and clubbing and things like that. I had to beg God for protection when I was in situations that I could not escape. Like at work, there would be places and people that I just could not escape. Because that everywhere you go, right, in this world, you're going to have people that are going to be drawing you down. You can't get out of the world that way. And so I had to beg God, God, help me. Lead me away from temptation. So Jesus can teach us to pray when we're teachable, when we use Jesus' pattern for prayer, and finally, when we are persistent and confident. These last two sections are actually quite simple, and we know it quite well, most of us. Ask, seek, and knock. That whole section is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. This parable of the irritating friend, I'm not sure if you've ever had an irritating friend. I have. And you wish they would just go away. Okay, now, this parable is not a comparison between people and God. It's a contrast between people and God. It's meant to highlight the difference between people and God. So people, if you're willing to, even if you're evil, but you have this good inkling about you, imagine how much more God, who is good, is willing to do this, fulfill your prayer requests. Just be persistent and be confident. And I'm going to say this, the giver is good. The gift giver is good. So when you're asking for something from God, know that the giver is good. You can't lose. So if you ask for an egg, God won't give you a scorpion. But the converse is true. If you ask for a scorpion in God's sight, you think it's fun to play with, you think God's going to give you that? No, he's not. The pulpit commentary puts it this way. He says, the master's assurance that prayer, if persisted in, would ever be heard and granted. And in other words, it will be heard and granted. And there is the all-important limitation that the thing prayed for must be something good in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. So God's going to give you something that's good when you pray. So the whole point of this is ask. Now, you Bible study people, you guys know a lot about Scripture. So this is what you're going to go through. I know it because I've gone through it a lot. Before I ask, I just want to make sure that it's going to be answered. And so I go through a whole list of things in the Bible, right? Is it in God's will? Am I praying selfishly? Am I praying with sin in my heart? I go through a whole list, make sure that it's not like that, and then I'll ask. God isn't saying that here. He said, just ask. Now, I might not give it to you. And there are reasons why I might not give it to you. It might not be good for you, and that I might not be according to my will. But just ask. If I don't give it to you, know that I am a good God, and whatever I give you will be good. So as we come before the Lord today and talk about prayer, we're really talking about something at its most basic level. And I want to say, let's just be assured, and let's just ask that God wants us to ask the Lord for prayer, if we can have the band come up, that God will teach us to pray when we are teachable. He will teach us to pray when we follow Jesus' pattern for prayer. And he will teach us to pray when we are persistent and confident. Just stay at it. Now again, this is a beginning. This is a starting point. It will probably nourish your spiritual life for all your life, but this is meant for just really beginners. So if you're a beginner here, take this, use it as training wheels for your prayer life. Go ahead. Jesus gave it. And if you're a leader here, spiritual leader, use this scripture to help somebody else to pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he really was so sensitive to our needs, and he taught us to pray. Teach us to pray. Thank you, God. You are so magnificent. We magnify you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.